Next on Gospel of Life, you may be surprised what the Bible says about the relationship between faith and politics. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director, and Reverend Rusty Thomas, our Pastoral Associate. Good to be with you both.
Reporting to duty, sir.
Well, we are in an election year, and as we normally do, we want to give some insights from Scripture on the Christian's obligation as a citizen. So let's talk about that. We're also going to quote from some of our key historical figures in the United States history. We go back to, we were just discussing before the show, this well-known passage from Matthew's Gospel, the 22nd chapter, when Jesus is approached with a question. And the Pharisees, of course, it says they were out to trap him, which was one of their common practices. And they said, "Teacher," in verse 16, "We know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men." Well, there's a good political lesson right there.
Amen.
So they
Everything
say,
"We are not."
Yeah. There you go. So they go on to say, "Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this? Whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's."
Well, I mean, nothing makes a clearer statement than that about why we need to protect the unborn. I mean, because we are made in God's image and likeness, and that's what God's saying. So the unborn, and even all of us, and even Caesar himself, belong to God.
Right, because the coin belongs to Caesar because it bears his image.
Right.
Human beings belong to God because they bear his image.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. And it does teach us, Father Frank, there are certain things due a civil government. There is a sacred obligation on the behalf of Christians as we relate to civil government. They are due our prayers. They are due submission to lawful authority. They're due taxes, prayerfully used legitimately.
Exactly.
But there are certain things they are due, but there are other things they are not due.
Right. In other words, Christians are not called to be anarchists. I mean, we know that we await a world to come. We know that our citizenship is in heaven. And we know that this world is passing away. But that doesn't mean that we allow this world to remain in a chaos. Good Christians are called to be good citizens. For many of the biblical reasons that you just pointed out. So that's point number one that we want to make.
Right. Yeah. But we're coming to a point in America, of course, where the civil government seems to consistently overstep its bounds. And now they're saying, they are due our thoughts. They are due our faith. They're due our belief systems. And by the laws that they continually pass, they're saying more and more by these decrees that you could be a Christian in your church, but you cannot bring the name of Jesus or the Word of God to bear in the public life of our nation. And this is where Christian citizenship is more required of God's church. Because literally, our freedoms of speech, our freedom to practice religion is under assault in our day. Mm-hmm. And of course, God has called his people to be salt and to be light. And that salt and light is to impact every area of life, including law, government, and politics.
Exactly.
Yeah, but very often people think that, well, you know, I go to church, I worship, I read my Bible every day, I pray, and they just leave it up to God. You know, God will take care of it. And how can we take those who are good people, who are reading their Bible and praying every day, how can we move them forward to say, no, God wants you active in the political system?
Well, let's look what that strategy has gotten for us. as Christians have disengaged the culture, have disengaged the political arena. What we must understand, this is just a reality we do have to come to grips with. Wherever Christianity is planted and grows, there is unprecedented freedom and blessing and prosperity. Wherever Christianity is in decline, there is chaos, there is confusion, there is darkness, you know, there is poverty, there's all kinds of ills that will come to a society. In other words, where Christ is honored, there is order, there is organization, there is clarity. Wherever Christ is being dishonored, things just get out of control. Mm-hmm. And what do we see in our nation, in the schools? They're out of control. You know, what do we see in our culture? It's out of control. What do we see in our government? It's getting more and more out of control. All right. And so this is where, again, Christian citizenship is required of God's people. And obviously in America, we live in a republic and a representative government where we, the people, have the opportunity to decide our leaders. The question is, what kind of leaders are we voting into office?
Right, right. Yeah, it's critically important to take these obligations seriously. First of all, by making sure we're registered to vote. Secondly, learning who these candidates are. And there's so many campaigns of disinformation, or just sometimes, frankly, just laziness. We don't want to, you know, how do we find out about these candidates? Oh, I heard somebody say something about this person, and somebody else said something about that one. I read this one article about this candidate. That's not enough. We can't rely on one of the things Scripture tells us to do is be diligent in paying attention. Vigilant is another word the Scriptures use. Watchful, always intent on doing what we need to do to get to the truth. That applies to the looking at these different candidates. We've got to make sure we dig for the information. We can't just expect it to be handed to us on a platter.
Exactly right. And that's probably, you know, we're seeing happening right now, Father Frank. You notice, just like Christmas comes earlier and earlier every year, do you notice, like, even
the
in
election,
the elections become early. And what happens, I think, is there's such a frenzy and such a hype, you know, early on, that a lot of people simply just get burnt out.
They really do. They get turned off
to it. Mm-hmm. But you know what? No matter if we get burned out or turned off, the reality is, especially in this coming election, there is so much riding on the future of America if we don't get this right. You know, and quite frankly, we got to challenge God's church that this is not about party affiliation, you know, Democrat, Republican, Independent. It's about principle.
Yes.
It's about principle. You know, what are the principles that define us as a people? Well, we know historically when America honored God's principles, even as it related to civil government, there was a blessing, there was a protection, there was a covering over our nation. Well, look what's happened to us since we've abandoned those sacred principles and we have violated those sacred principles. I mean, we're in trouble as a people. We got moral rot from within, we got threat of terror from without, and we have a political party system right now that seems more enamored with their own empowerment than the welfare of our nation.
Well, as you know, in the history of the Old Testament, you'll read the books of Kings, for example. You had some kings who were faithful to the covenant, and they reasserted the covenant. They said to the people, look, I'm your king, but our king together is the one in heaven. We've got to observe his covenant. And so the kings led by word and example, whereas others did just the opposite. They themselves personally abandoned the covenant, worshiped false gods, and then they led the people into the worship of false gods and sometimes even set up the temples for this false worship. The point being that when the people strayed from the covenant, that's when they ended up having also the military and political problems. The enemies would come in and cause havoc for the people. Why? Not because they committed some military blunder, but because they committed a moral blunder.
Absolutely. There's a direct connection. You know, the proverb says, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. He also said in Proverbs, you know, when the righteous rule, people rejoice. You know, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Exactly.
And look what's going on in our nation. When's the last time we've heard the joyful sound of our children in America?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we, you know, clearly our laws and our government and our leaders are not reflecting righteousness.
Righteousness, yeah. That's the key. Well, we're going to give a little more reflection from Scripture and also from some of the quotes of our figures from American history. But first, we'll take a little break. And friends, we invite you to stay with us as we continue to talk about Scripture, the church, and the elections. We'll be right back.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back. We're with Reverend Rusty Thomas, our pastoral associate, Janet Moreno, our associate director, and myself, Reverend Frank Pavone. And we're talking about the elections. We're in an election year. The Bible has a lot to say about our responsibilities as a people, active as citizens, not only of heaven, but also of our respective countries. You have some quotes from some figures in American history.
Yeah, this first one is from John Jay. He was our first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And he gave this statement October 12, 1816. And this is what he stated. He said, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty," which is a word we hardly hear today. Right. You know, we're very strong on rights,
right.
You know, very little on responsibility or duty. But he said it's the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation. Now, just the fact that the first Chief Justice would describe America as a Christian nation would not go very well today. We're trying to distance ourselves from that as far as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the results are telling. Okay?
Yes, they are.
But he said that we were a Christian nation and that Christians should select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Okay, now this is the problem, Father Frank, and we talk about this misinformation. It seems like when anybody runs for public office, knowing the religious character of America, all of them, you know, whether they're Democrats or Republicans or independents, they want to put on their religious badge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They want to cater to the church, you know what I mean, and present themselves as Christians. Okay, but the struggle, of course, a lot of them, they're in name only. And it's simply a political scheme, you know what I mean, to garner the vote of Christians.
Yes.
And this is where we really have to do some digging, Father Frank, to see, you know, in other words, we can't judge their motive, but we can sure enough judge their fruit and judge their action. Does their confession, you know, line up with their actions? And if they are a principled leader, then we need to support them. But if it's just a name and only and they're playing a religious game mm-hmm. to deceive, well, obviously we need to reject that.
Well, one of the problems I think that happens around elections is these candidates, you know, they might claim to be from a certain denomination. But let's find the church that they worshiped on a regular basis before they declared their candidacy. Whereas suddenly, once they become a candidate, now you see them in this pulpit and visiting this church, standing with this preacher around, with their arm around them. But are they really worshiping the Lord Jesus on a regular basis before? Or is this just a show we're putting on at election time to get that denominational vote for them?
And we should make it clear, you know, we're not calling for a religious test for public office. What we're calling for is integrity and sincerity.
Exactly.
That's the point. In other words, don't use religion just as a way of getting votes.
No, we want the truth. That's what we want. You know what I found interesting too, Rusty, when you quoted John Jay there about the duty to select. Well, what does that mean? The duty for Christians to select their leaders means your duty means you have to vote. In order to vote, you have to be registered. And I bet you people listening to us right now should be examining their own conscience. Am I registered to vote? And is every member of my family registered to vote?
Or have I moved since the last election? That's an important question to ask.
Well, just like in 2006, just to give you an indication how important this is, okay? We had the election. Obviously, it ushered the Democrats back to power, okay? And some of that was a fallout for a lot of reasons, okay? But during that election, only one-third of those who named the name of Christ voted in that election.
Yeah.
Two-thirds stayed home for whatever reason. Ignorance, willful ignorance, you know. But they stayed home. But check this out. Out of that one-third, we were still the largest voting bloc in the United States of America, while two-thirds of the brethren sat out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would happen? I mean, just dream with me a little bit. Let's cast the vision here. What would happen that those that named the name of Christ actually took the time to get registered, to vote, and to vote principally, not according to party?
And it doesn't even take that much time.
No.
It takes hardly any time.
No. And it's just amazing the impact that we could have for the future of our children and our grandchildren if we would take this duty serious.
Yeah.
Because as somebody once stated, our vote is the currency of our political virtue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's our virtue at the ballot box, you know, being presented. And prayerfully to have impact.
Well, in the past, you know, Reverend Rusty, we've pointed out on this program that some elections in the past have been won or lost by just the amount of votes that would take up a church choir.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Any pastor listening to us or within the range of any of our viewers has the power, potentially, conceivably,
right,
of swaying even a presidential election.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen, and very often that's why I think people don't vote. They think, oh, what does my one vote mean?
Well,
they get very discouraged. That one vote added with the rest of your church family makes hundreds or thousands of votes, depending on how big that church is, and that could make the whole difference. And we have, there was one case I remember in Pennsylvania where it was a state Supreme Court judge they were voting for, and it was a pro-life and pro-abortion. And the pro-abortion guy won by like 26 votes.
Mm.
Imagine? That's a church choir there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
it is,
vote does count.
It's an awesome responsibility.
Really,
you know, Scripture puts serious responsibilities on the shoulders of kings and rulers and princes. In a country where we have self-governance, as we do here, those same responsibilities transfer onto our shoulders because we're choosing our leaders.
Right.
Which means we are the leaders as a nation.
Well, and again, this goes back to Scripture, Father Frank. When you look in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when Jethro gave advice to Moses, he said, man, you're wearing yourself out, you're wearing mm-hmm. the people out. Mm-hmm. Let me give you some advice, and the Lord give you wisdom here.
Yeah.
And really, what Jethro was challenging him was to set up a representative government, a republic.
Yeah.
Okay? And that in that republic, this is what you're looking for. You know, able men mm-hmm. that fear God, men of truth.
You know. Well, we're out of time, but I want to thank you both, and we'll continue to push this message forward in the weeks and months to come. God bless you both.
Bless you too.
Elections, brothers and sisters, go to our special political website, politicalresponsibility.org, and stay with us now for more of Gospel of Life.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Segment. Today, Janet, we want to give people a very basic way to educate their neighbors about abortion. Tell us.
That's right. And it's real simple because, first of all, we start with that basic fact that I know you've given all your talks, I give in mine, but yet so many people think people know it, but they don't. And the simple fact is that Roe v. Wade made abortion legal through all 9 months of pregnancy on healthy babies and healthy mothers. Period. Amen. I mean, that's such a simple fact, but there are so many people out there that think abortion occurs only in the first trimester. And we have ways now, Father, that we can help them to speak this fact in a very clear way to their friends and neighbors. And I like to start with the Yellow Pages. You know, if you want to convince people that abortion is through all 9 months and late term, just take out the Yellow Pages. And here's an example. You turn to abortion, and I have here abortion services through 24 weeks, right here on the paper. Free pregnancy tests, and so forth and so on.
So in other words, you're saying if somebody has the very common impression that abortions are legal only in the first 12 weeks or that they are done only in the first 12 weeks, something as simple as the Yellow Pages disproves that right away. Why would they be advertising for abortion services through 24 weeks? And some Yellow Page ads will have it through 28
weeks.
And it happens even after that, too. It's just each abortion facility and each abortionist in particular will decide what his or her limit is as far as how long into pregnancy they will do the procedure. The fact is it's legal throughout pregnancy. These Yellow Page ads show that it's done later than most people think.
That's right. And then here's another example. You know, they like to make abortion like a simple thing, like having your tooth pulled, you have the abortion, you go back to work the next day.
Yeah.
Well, then how come they're offering here different types of anesthesia, both sedation or you can have, IV solution and all that? Why are they offering all this anesthesia then if it's no big deal? Some ads say pain-free, but why is it pain-free? And in these ads, they're saying that you have to have all the sedation.
So what we're saying is go to the Yellow Page. Now, we're going to put up on all we have up on our website at gospellife.com some samples of Yellow Page ads from across the country. But you're saying go to your Yellow Pages that you have right in your own
home
right now. And go see what ads are in there.
That's right.
Tell us the story. Recently, you had a story about how powerful this can be.
Well, very simply, a young man that I've known for a number of years, he works for a media, big media outlet in New York, and I've known this kid since he was very young, and he has a pro-choice view, and he knows where I am on the issue. And every once in a while, we kind of jar back and forth about the discussion. So one day, he says to me something about abortion, and I say, well, Chris, it's legal through all 9 months. And he says, no, it's not. Come on, Janet. Women only have abortions when they're 6 or 8 weeks pregnant. I said, no, Chris. Roe v. Wade made it. And I took out the Yellow Pages just like this. I'm from New York, took out the Staten Island Yellow Pages, opened it up, and pointed. His mouth dropped open. He couldn't believe it. And so that's what I want to tell our viewers is this is a very simple thing. You can convert more people than you think. Because this is a fellow who, if you asked him, he would said he was pro-choice. Well, after my discussion, he said, I guess I can't use that label that I'm pro-choice anymore. So this is really a way to help convince people that abortion is worse than they even think.
a simple action item. Thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for being with us. Another action item that I want to mention is the Will to Live, a very important document prepared for each of the 50 states about end-of-life medical decisions. Don't fill out a living will. Use the Will to Live. You get better protection, better able to preserve your own moral convictions, and appoint a person to speak for you if there's a circumstance in which you cannot speak for yourself about medical treatment. Will to Live. Check out our website, gospeloflife.com. And now, as we conclude our program, I invite you to look at the images that you're about to see and to consider that this is why we have these programs. This is why we have Gospel of Life Ministries. This is why we fight abortion, because the images you're about to see will show you how terrible this reality really is. God bless you.
Until people saw images of children in coal mines, did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture, did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life, because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help. There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.